Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, and that's what we'd like to do with you. Now, look, we know it's raining. We know that it's one of those mornings where you want to sleep in, but we also know that there are many of you out there listening, and we would like to share your thoughts with our listeners. And we'd like to talk to you about fishing or hunting or crabbing or wildlife, or, well, you know, you can just call in and hear the friendly voice of Kristen this morning if you like. She'll answer the phone for you since Grumpy Brian's off on vacation today, right, Kristen? Yeah, she's shaking her head. She's smiling in there. So, but I'll tell you what, been a busy week for me. We've been working on the upcoming issue of the fall issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. A lot of stuff out there, making phone calls to the folks at Wildlife and talking to some folks and learning some very interesting things about upcoming events. We talked to our bear guy and learned that the results of the DNA test, the bear population study, the estimate that was done last year, are in. I can't really reveal the hard numbers. That's his job, and that hasn't come out, in a press release or anything yet. So, suffice it to say that the news is good for bear hunters in Maryland, and we'll just leave it at that. I think that's probably well said. While we're talking about bears, let me say this: that there has been no quota until yesterday, established for the upcoming bear hunt. The number of permits hasn't been revealed either. And the reason for that is this study, this DNA study that took place last year, the results weren't in. So here's how it went. In 2005, we did a bear study in Maryland, Western Maryland. And the way it works is they set up what are called traps or gathering sites, not really a bear trap of any kind. It's a baited, it could be a stump, it could be an enclosure. Usually it's a stump where they've baited with some kind of attractant for bears, and they've surrounded that stump with barbed wire. As the bears smell the bait, go to the stump to eat the bait, they have to climb over the fence or, you know, somehow come in contact with the barbed wire fence. The wire captures some hair from the bear as it goes over the fence, pulls some hair out. That's what's used for the DNA testing. They test every bit of hair that they possibly can that comes from each of those sites. Now, there are 240 of those sites set up. In 2005, the population estimate was something like 362 bears or something like that. In 2011, same 240 sites, pretty much same locations, more bears. I will say more bears. In 6 years, the population of bears increased dramatically. Dramatically. They also do a density study, which is to calculate the amount of bears per 100 square miles. That's a 10 by 10 area. Again, 30 couple bears per 100 square miles in 2005. Dramatic increase in 2011. What does this mean? That means that the bear population is expanding, extremely robust in Western Maryland. What else does this mean for hunters? It also means that there's the potential for more bear hunting permits to be issued. I mean, they know that they can take X number out of the population without harming the population one little bit. We've had a bear season now for 7 years, I believe. And, the bear population continues to expand, as I said, robustly. What I can tell you is that the results for Frederick and Washington counties were about the same as they were in 2005. No real measurable bear population in Frederick and Washington counties. Yes, there are sightings of bears. There are probably bears in Washington and Frederick County that live there, that den there, that, you know, grow there, breed their young there, and that type of thing. They're probably a small resident population in both of those counties. However, not anywhere near the density, not anywhere near as measurable as the population in our two westernmost counties. So I think that's going to lead to increased opportunities for bear hunters, more permits. There were 260 permits issued last year. I believe the first year there was a bear season, there were 200 permits issued. So I think there's going to be more than 260. I also think that the quota for bears is going to be expanded as well. We'll see. But that's where that is. So if you're questioning, if you've been online and you want to know how many permits are going to issue and you want to know what the bear quota is, well, the questions are answered and we'll be out there next week. The deadline to file for your bear hunting permit is done by lottery, and the deadline is August 31st. The easiest way to do it is online. It's a $15 application fee. Now, if you've applied every year and you haven't drawn, which I have done, and I have drawn twice, we have what's called preference points. And if you enter the drawing, pay your $15, what a preference point means is that each year that a hunter applies for a bear hunting permit, he'll receive one preference point if they're not selected for the bear permit. The preference points provides an additional entries in future lotteries. You get one additional entry in the lottery for each year they're a concurrent applicant. The preference point system has been functioning as it was designed. Preference points have improved the applicant's chances of getting drawn in the lottery. In 2011, 80% of the successful applicants drawn in the lottery had at least one preference point. That's 87%. You must apply each year to retain your preference points. If you skip a year, all your preference points will be forfeited. Once the application is selected to receive a bear hunting permit, all preference points will be forfeited. So, 2 years ago when I bear hunted, I forfeited all my points up to that point. I started over again last year, so I have one preference point going into this year. Once an applicant is selected to receive if an applicant is selected in the lottery but forfeits the permit, all preference points will be forfeited. So if you're drawn and don't go, same deal. Applicants will not forfeit preference points by participating in the hunt as a sub-permittee or a landowner sub-permittee. Applicants have the opportunity to purchase a preference point only. This will allow those hunters who cannot hunt in the 2012 season the opportunity to retain their preference points for use in future drawings without risk of losing them. In other words, you can pay the $15 knowing full well that you're not going to hunt and keep your preference points going. A preference point is just another chance in the lottery. So if you've applied for 5 years, you've never been drawn, and you've paid every time, you have five preference points. When you apply for the lottery this time, that the 5 years that you've applied, your five preference points are applied, and you have six chances to hit in the bear lottery. New this year, and this is a point of contention, and it's a little annoying to me, residents of the hunt area, Garrett and Allegheny counties, will receive preference in the lottery drawing. The first 25% of applications drawn will be reserved for residents of the hunt area. The remaining 75% of the applications selected will be drawn from the remaining pool of all eligible applicants. This change is responsible to continuous requests from the public since bear hunting has returned to Western Maryland in 2004. This is an attempt to help residents experiencing nuisance bear problems address those issues directly through a high applied hunting pressure. I have my own opinion what that is, and I will share it with you. There's a constituency, a large constituency of sportsmen in Maryland. in Western Maryland who are well organized and communicate well with each other. They are a large block of sportsmen who have a very high influence on what's going on within our wildlife division. They're vocal, they're organized, and they participate in the system. And this, because of the size of that block, if they say, well, you know, I'm not sure we want to have, elk in Western Maryland. I don't know that we can support the department on that. Then it turns into, well, you know, what do you guys want? What can we do to sweeten the pot? You know what? I think we'd like to have a preference on the bear hunt. It's been said. It's been said in public meetings. It's been said in, it hasn't been quid pro quo like that, but here's how this came about. The management meeting, at the stakeholders meeting where they discuss the concepts and the proposals and all that, we're all sitting there. There's 20-some of us in the room. And one of the representatives of Western Maryland just made an offhand remark. We all took it as an offhand remark. Yeah, I think we'd like to see the people in the area get more chances at the bears. Just something like that. I mean, real casual. And on it went. And they wrote it down. And lo and behold, within weeks, Western Maryland residents had 25% of the quota going their way, two counties. Now, had this been discussed ahead of time? What do you think? Well, I know what I think. And, you know, is what it is. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Anyway, online, http blackbear.dnr.state.md.us. Just go to the wildlife page on your internet. Click on wildlife. It's the first thing that pops up. Or click on the press release. It'll take you right there. You can walk right through the process. Just need a credit card. Away to go. Pretty simple. Pretty simple application process for the Maryland Bear Hunting Lottery if you'd like to go. It means a trip out to Garrett or Allegheny County. It means having to find either public land where to hunt or find a private landowner that will allow you permission to hunt. So there are a lot of guidelines on there in the Maryland Bear Hunting Permit System, and the managed Maryland Bear Hunt is one of the finest, most finest organized events I've ever seen, I've ever run into. There's a lot of effort put into it, and the managers do a stellar job and have done a stellar job. This will be, I believe, the ninth year since 2004. Yeah, I think they do eighth year. They do a tremendous job at managing the resource, and everything is based on science. A lot of boots on the ground work by the biologists. A lot of work, and we appreciate that. We certainly do. 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM-680. Is our phone number. We welcome your calls and comments. Hey, that's what we're here for. Two-way talk. That means you're involved in that. Right, Kristen? Plus, she's falling asleep in there, so you want to give her a jingle at the phone ring and, you know, keep her attention focused on what she's doing in there. What? Oh, look. Hey, look, she woke up. Isn't that amazing? What? You woke up all night. So that's an excuse for what? Isn't that your job? Exactly. See? I knew it. All right. I'm sleepy. I've been up all night. Didn't you volunteer? Didn't they hire you to do this? Did you answer the phone when I called? Or did you hang up on me? You did not answer the phone. You didn't call me. You didn't make the request for coffee. I'd have gladly brought you coffee. I had the Kona brewing. It was ready to go. Yeah. Next time I'll remember that you like coffee. See, I don't get any requests from the guys. They can tough it out. I know girls are high maintenance. Trust me, I know that. That's for sure. I think we ought to tell these folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, it's been time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's cranking right along, and you could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the Tuttle Rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Now, stop by your local Fish and Citation Center, or you can visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim. And don't forget, Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish. Today, he's worth $20,000 and will be till the end of the month. However, next week, a new batch of Diamond Jims will be put out there. And by the end, if you catch one of those and he happens to be the Diamond Jim, by the end of August or by Labor Day, let's put it that way, he'll be worth $25,000. Now, we did get news that a couple of tagged fish have been caught. So we're verifying those entries, and we'll bring you more on that when we know more. So, Diamond Jim, catch a fish with a bright green tag in his belly. Call that number on the tag. Don't yank the tag out of the fish. Keep everything together and call DNR. You might have just won a $20,000 prize. Maryland Fishing Challenge, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Hey, I'll tell you what, I use my truck every day. I've got a Linex spray-on bed liner in the back of it that I received from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Went down there, and Bobby and I, we got together, and, well, I have a spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex. I've had one since, I think, about 8 years. Had one in the old truck, too, and I love it. Now, Bay Linex offers something that not a lot of people do. They offer a mobile unit that'll come to your farm, your home, your job site. They'll apply the Linex coating to things like underground tanks, your deck, your trailers, your lift gates, your anything that needs non-slip protection and protection against corrosion. When it gets to your truck bed, if you'd like to have a colorful truck bed like that matches your truck, they can do that too. It's a DuPont Kevlar mix that they use the paint coat on your of your vehicle and match the spray-on Linex bed liner to your truck. It's beautiful, and it's very, very strong, very protective. Protect your vestment in your pickup truck like I did. Feel protected with a Linex spray-on bed liner or prolong the life of your equipment. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A or Ritchie Highway. Or you can visit them online at baylinex.com. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199 for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Now more than just bed liners.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Only one Baltimore radio station is covering both the GOP and the Democratic Convention. Join Les Consolving as he takes his uninhibited radio on the road to Tampa and Charlotte. You'll hear the latest from both political conventions with newsmaker interviews, special reports, and insider updates exclusively on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Brought to you by Rittenhouse Energy Services, not just an oil company. 410-665-1660.
Starting next month, we will be able to remove 10,000 of our troops from Afghanistan by the end of this year.
When news happens, when it affects you.
And we will bring home a total of 33,000 troops by next summer. Our mission will change from combat to support.
It's on Stimulating Talk. Breaking news. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blames his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou.
Alligator bait.
Thank you. There we go. All right, let's talk to Jim in White Marsh. Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good morning. All pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. What's up?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have a groundhog problem.
You do?
Yes, and I'd like to shoot a couple of them.
All right.
But my problem is skinning them.
Why?
What is it? Why?
Yeah, you're going to eat them?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. What's the problem with skinning them?
Well, I'll tell you what. I wear a knife out on two of them.
Yeah.
And they're extremely hard to get that skin off of. And I was wondering if there's an easy way. I skin them like I do a squirrel.
Right. Yeah, cut them up the back legs and up the belly and that type of thing.
Is there an easier way?
Well, I don't know if my trapping buddy's listening, but he will probably give us an answer. But they do have a tough skin. I know that. And I also know they have a little musk gland, I believe, in the middle of their back somewhere, down around their kidney area, I think.
Yes.
Have you seen that? And you skin that off?
Yes. I'll tell you what. What? People underestimate the quality of the meat.
Oh, I've eaten groundhog. I like it. I've never prepared one.
They're delicious.
Oh, I know. They're excellent. I know. No question about it. The one I had was, I went to one of my favorite gas stations one day, and I got some gas. And the guy inside was, he's a little odd, but he says, "Hey, come on in here. I'm cooking up some groundhog. You want some?" I said, "Sure, I'll try some." And he had a big old leg in the frying pan. It was all salt and pepper and butter, and that was about it.
Well, I tell you what, that to me, I like it better than venison.
No, it's good stuff. I'll tell you, you're right. I think we should probably engage in that practice. The people that hunt groundhogs, they ought to try eating them. I've eaten some weird stuff. I mean, muskrat and
me too.
How about beaver? Have you ever eaten beaver?
Oh, never eat beaver.
Beaver is as good as any prime beef you will ever get, if not better.
Well, I tell you what, that groundhog is the only game that my wife will eat. And I had a lot of people I work with used to, how can you eat groundhog? I said, I'll show you one day. And she prepared it for me. She cooks them in the pressure cooker first to tenderize them.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'll tell you, I took them to work and they went nuts over it.
Yeah. Now, how does she prepare it, Jim?
Well, she puts it in the pressure cooker. And she puts an apple in there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And after she pressure cooks it, she takes it out, and she rolls it in flour, and she fries it.
Sounds good. Now, does she use any other seasoning other than the apple in the pressure cooker?
Yeah, she uses, salt and pepper and some of her own ingredients she adds to it. I really couldn't tell you. But I know one thing, it comes out perfect.
Well, you know what, Jim? I'd love to have that recipe and run that in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly for our readers.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll get it together and mail it off to you.
Well, okay. That sounds good. That would be great. And why don't you stay on the line? Kristen will grab you and write your phone number down. I'll give you a call.
All right.
All right?
Sure.
Hang on.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I didn't really answer his question on how to skin a groundhog. They're tough. I know that.
No, you didn't.
Well, you know, here you said you skin them like you skin squirrels. It all depends on how you skin a squirrel. Now, do you cut like from knee to knee across the back and stand
across
on his
back? Yes.
Stand on his tail and pull the skin off like you do a squirrel?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's any easier than that or not.
Well, I tell you what, that's a pretty tough job. And I skin them immediately after I shoot them because they're easier when they're warm.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like I say, after I do two, my knife is worn out.
Yep.
So I was just wondering if it's an easier way.
Yeah, my buddy replied to me, and he has no clue. I mean, he does. He's a trapper. He knows how to skin them.
Uh-huh.
But he kind of disregards the our conversation here. They're tough to skin as the hide is stuck to them like glue.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, there's some of these guys, these trappers now are using an air injection process. They slide the like an air tube for your tires
between the skin and the hide.
Yeah, and hit the button and it blows up the hide loose. I don't know if that would work on a groundhog or not.
I seriously doubt it.
Yeah, they're tough. I know they're tough.
It's welded on there. That hide is welded on there.
Okay.
Well, and I'll tell you what, you earn it when you get it.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. All right, Jim.
All right, then.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
There goes Jim. Let's talk to Roy in White Marsh. Good morning, Roy. How you doing? Thanks for holding on.
Hey, you've got the time. It sounds like maybe you do.
Well, I've got time. What's up?
Tell you a story, an old-time story about the big ones that didn't get away.
Oh, good. That's the kind I like.
Okay. This was many years ago, about probably 1959. That is a long while ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Three brothers and three brother-in-laws went to our landing.
Okay.
We get there like before 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's a big line waiting for boats. You know, they rented boats there.
Yep.
Anyway, we stood in line for a while, and a guy came out and said, we run out of boats. Oh, what are we going to do? So we go, long story, we go up the road. Finally, we wind up at Kenton Airs. We had never been there before. And went down Fisherman's Inn. Say, this guy said, you have any boats left? Well, he said, I only got three. He said, they leak a little bit. So, I said, well, they, you know, get us there and back wherever we need to. Yeah. I said, it might get your feet a little wet.
Right.
Anyway, we go out, rent the boats, put our gear. Each one of us had a motor, had three of us, three sets of us. Anyway, go out and said, where do you go? He said, see that duck blind out there? He says, yeah. I said, that's Wells Cove. So just go anywhere around that duck blind. We go out there, tow our lines down. We only have 300-foot lines. We run them, one guy laying across the boat, run the line, the other guy, you know, dipping. Anyway, these crabs that come up were so big, we could not believe it. We were used to, we've been to Wye River. Of course, you get like 8-inch ones or 8.5 inch ones down there then.
Right.
But anyway, these things were monsters. At 9:30, we each had a bushel, load up and come home. These things, it was 46 of them to my bushel. The biggest one was 10 1/4 inches. There was none under 9.
Oh, my.
And it was 46 in that bushel.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
And never saw anything like that again. It must have been a school of them or something.
That's something else, man.
And never saw anything like that again. I crabbed all my life up till I was too old, and I'll be 83 years old.
Oh, my goodness. That's unbelievable. And where again was this, Roy?
Fisherman's Inn, right there at Kenton Arrows.
Well, right there, okay.
And what they call the cove was Wells Cove.
And they still crab out of there.
Oh, yeah, oh, certainly. Oh,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. And, but I crabbed out of there many times after that, but never saw any crabs like that. In my whole life. I got a brother-in-law that still crabs. He's 76, and he still crabs. He got a commercial license crabs by himself, and he's just got a commercial license because he does, but he runs a 1,000-foot or so line. And but nowadays, if he gets a bushel or bushel and a half off of that 1,000-foot line, and most of them are sixes, he goes Thompson's Creek mostly.
Sure.
If they're sixes or six and a half, he's got some nice crabs.
Oh, he's happy with them, sure.
But they're light nowadays.
Sometimes they are, yeah. Yep.
So anyway, that was a story from way back.
Wow, Roy, that's quite a story, man. I'm guessing you didn't take any pictures.
Well, I tell you what, we didn't take any pictures, but someplace I got six crab shells someplace that I put away, I wrapped up and put away, you know, dried them and put them away.
Yeah.
But for the life of me, I don't ever remember throwing them out. The only place I can think they might be is in my attic, not my attic, but upstairs in old-time China closet. It's so much stuff in there. It's packed in there. I've never gotten it out. And
We created a crabbing magazine this year called Marilyn Loves Crabs.
Yeah, I'd love to get a hold of it. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll put you on hold and we'll get your number for it. We'll get Kristen to get your number. But it's interesting because that would make a great photo if you had those pictures or if you had those shells. We could measure them and put that picture in there with you and tell that story. I'd love to tell that story about being out of boats on Labor Day and write the whole thing up. I think that would be great. And you know, here's the proof. Here's the 10-inch shell to prove it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, we'll get your number. You stay on hold, and Kristen will get your number. I'll give you a call. How's that sound?
If I find him, I sure as hell will give you a call.
I appreciate it, Roy. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks. Hold on. Hold the line. There we go. I do have a good one. Thanks. What's going on here the breathing a little bit here this morning. Look who's coming up here. How about that? Anyway, I didn't even talk about waterfowl yet. I talked about the bears and what's going on with the bears. And I will tell you again, the wildlife managers in Western Maryland and people involved in the bear program are extremely happy with the results of their DNA test. Now, keep in mind, all these samples of DNA had to be tested at a university. Some of the hair samples were broken. You know, the tag end of the hair, the follicle, so to speak, that is pulled out, was missing on some of the samples, and some of the samples had to be run and rerun. But imagine testing the samples of bear hair and coming up with DNA results. It's no wonder it took a year to get that thing completed. But that's the kind of thing that our department does for its constituents. Let me put it that way. Let's talk to Amy in Reisterstown. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm all right, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, Daddy just got out of the hospital again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. About three of them. Oh, three veins leaking. Blood in his aorta.
Oh, man.
They went in there for one and found two more, so.
So you getting fixed up?
Yeah. So, Alan, I still haven't got the last book.
Oh, my. Well, I'll have to get out there and see you. You've been a little busy.
Yeah, I have, and so have you. And you got to call me because Daddy lost your phone number.
Oh, no.
Yes, he did, and that's another reason I haven't called.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll get in touch with you, Amy.
All right. Love you.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, honey.
Thanks, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
89 years young. Amy from Reisterstown. 410 WCBM 680. Come on. Let's talk about something. 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. I'd like to see that bushel of crabs with 46 crabs in it, 9 and 10-inch crabs. Oh, my good gravy. How about that? Well, let me tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Talking about crabs, I'm getting hungry. You just take Route 100 all the way to the end. You hit Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. 2.5 miles on the right side, you'll find Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Now, they've got those crab steamers. They're made out of stainless steel. They're made here in Maryland and in the United States. They've got a basket and lid, three different sizes. There's a half bushel, there's a bushel, and there's a bushel and a half size. And they're available right there at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. It will be the last crab steamer you ever have to buy. So, there you go. They also have a large selection of crabbing gear, a large selection of fishing tackle, and all the bait you could need, want, or imagine. That's Fishbones Bait and Tackle. If you'd like an accurate fishing report, I'm going to give you the phone number for the Upper Bay, 410-360-0573. You want to talk to Bud. It's 410-360-0573, and the name of the business, again, is Fishbones Bait and Tackle. We like talking to those guys. We really do. Yes, indeed. Well, man, I'm getting hungry. I really am. And what's going to make me even hungrier is when I start talking about Papa John's Farm, because, you know, summertime is the time for picnics and family get-togethers and reunions and camping trips. Summer means corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy watermelons. Well, you know, Schillinger family, they talked to me, first of all, about what they do with their corn on the cob. Now, they don't sell steam crabs, but they love to eat steam crabs. They throw that corn in the cob in the steamer with the crabs. Layer crabs, layer seasoning, layer crabs, layer seasoning, layer crabs, layer seasoning, layer crabs, layer seasoning. Corn on the cob goes on top. Put some seasoning in there. Steam that whole mess up together, and I'll tell you what, you got dinner. Well, one vital part of that is the corn on the cob, and that's what they've got at their enormous produce barn. Their own tasty, super sweet corn. Homegrown tomatoes are ready to go. There's squash and zucchini and peppers and onions and green beans and cucumbers and all the other stuff. There's mouthwatering cantaloupes. I snacked on one of those last week. And sweet watermelons, too. Now, Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at Exit 12, New Cut Road in Severn. The number is 410-969-8810. That's 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. And that phone number again, 410-969-8810. You got a family reunion coming up? Call them up and reserve your corn. Get a couple of watermelons. Get some cantaloupes. Go out and have a good time. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
We've got a cloudy start to our Saturday here across the Baltimore area. We'll see about a 30% chance of picking up a couple of showers. Our high near 80. We stay cloudy tonight, the low down to 68. Tomorrow for Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy. Some isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, a high 88. I'm Jason Beck from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Join WCBM's Tom Maher and Frank Luber live from Ocean City's Boardwalk on Friday, August 3rd from 9 a.m. to noon. The Place Tony's Pizza on the boardwalk at Division Street, right at the Welcome Arch. Featuring many invited guests, including Ocean City Mayor Rick Meehan, Congressman Andy Harris, and State Senator Jim Mathias. All made possible by Tony's Pizza and by the Clarion Resort Fontainebleau Hotel and Conference Center in Ocean City. Dowdy Ocean on the boardwalk with WCBM from Tony's Pizza, Friday, August 3rd, 9 a.m. to noon.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh,
right here in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. You surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha! And so's your old man. But if so, my friends, you got trouble. Right here in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. You surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule. Oh, we got trouble.
Thank you. Ah, can only take so much of that. Let's see. We've got Don in Pasadena waiting, and then Mike in Finksburg. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, how are you, sir?
How you doing, Alan?
Hey, good, buddy. How are you?
I'm going to switch this a little bit to deer hunting.
Okay, good.
I want to tell you a deer story from years 2002. My biggest deer.
Okay.
You know, Kevin and the boys that got the turkeys.
Yep.
Well, Kevin... It was after a hurricane, and all the trees were down on the shore.
Right.
And I was a guest in his club. He had a club down there. So he took me down, and the water was high. We're in the swampy areas. And he carried me over the swampy areas because he had hips and I didn't. So he puts me in this place, and 2 weeks prior, I brought him to the reservoir where I live. And both days, he got 8 points on each day.
Wow.
So in return, he took me to his place as a guest. And on his property, I get up and he puts me in a tree, and I'm sitting there. It's 8:30, so we had the walkie-talkie. And I called him and I said, this place is crap. I get you $2.80 and nothing. And all of a sudden, as I'm talking, here comes a little doe, and behind it I could see way, like 70 yards away, here comes this big buck. And this buck, it's just a nine-pointer, nice, big, mature rack, but this deer is 300 pounds.
Wow.
And I hit this deer, and we didn't find it for 3 days. And we went back and found the buzzard and found it, and you know, it was 3 days old, so the meat was bad.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So we cut. Some had already ate the back end.
Right.
So we cut the hindquarters, just about all that meat off. And the buzzard's got the eye on the side that was up.
Mm-hmm.
So we take it home. I want to get it mounted still, you know.
Right.
I did shoot it. And we put it on the scale, and it still weighed 200 pounds.
Good grief.
And the day before that, a buddy of ours got a mature, nice whitetail, which I would have called a trophy any day. I would love to have it. We hung them both up in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
And his deer looked like a fawn.
Yeah, those big monster bucks, they're amazing to see.
What
yeah.
I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
He's on my wall right now.
That's cool, man. Good.
And he ain't my most point. My most point is 15 points. I think I got a 15-point. It's a non-typical, but it's a wide base. It's a, you know, where they come out of the head.
Yeah.
And it's a real nice one, man. He carried me over all. He carried the gear, and then he carried me on his back.
Wow, that's cool.
And that had to be the funniest sight in the woods. But
yep.
I just wanted to tell that story.
Good story, Mike.
It's
yes, sir.
Time to go practicing. And I don't know if I can do it anymore, but I still got that itch.
I got you. All right, man. Give it a try.
Okay.
Stay in touch. Stay in touch.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. There he goes. Don in Pasadena. Good morning, Don.
Hey.
Hey, what?
The guy that was calling in wondering about the groundhog.
Yeah, help us out. Help us out. I got a note here from my trapper buddy. He's laughing his butt off at me for even suggesting the air skinning technique. He said it doesn't work.
Might be laughing at you, but I'm going to tell you, that does work. What you do is you cut up about an inch or two above the tail, make a small slit.
Yep.
And then what you do is you get about a quarter inch copper line and you tower or pipe, actually, and you attach that to the air gun and you mat it down in the front to where it's running horizontal.
Yeah.
And you stick it up in there and just start shooting a little bit of air. And as you get farther up in there, you just keep giving it more air. And I'll tell you what, it actually blows the thing up. But then it'll actually make it easier to take the skin off. And if you do it in September or October when they're getting a lot of fat on them, it's a lot easier to do it. I've watched guys do that.
Now that's for the groundhog, right?
That's for the groundhog. Guy says it works on anything that's got a heavy pelt on it. I watched a guy down in Gastonia, in North Carolina, and he was doing that. And I'll tell you what, he skinned that groundhog. I'll bet you it wasn't even 5 minutes, but that's what he did. A little tiny slit, and he stuck that copper tube up in there.
Yeah.
And just wiggled it around a little bit. But he says you got to have that edge matted down a little bit. Yeah, I guess.
You mean mashed down? You mean you get make
yeah,
it flat? You make it flat like a screwdriver.
Exactly. And
yeah.
What that does is it also helps move the fat away. But hey, this guy went up in there, and the farther he got, and then they started turning up the air pressure. And I tell you, I thought the thing was going to blow up. But I'll tell you what, he got the skin. I mean, and when they flipped it over, and then he just cut it. And I mean, tell you, he took like a filleting knife, and he had that skin right off of it. I couldn't believe it.
Okay. Take you at your word, Don. Don't know what else to say.
That's what I've seen.
All right. Okay, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Oh, man. I got to love it. Got to love it. Now, ask me how to skin a catfish. That one I can tell you. Groundhogs, maybe not. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish. He's swimming out there in the bay. He's worth $20,000 if you catch him this month. $25,000 if you wait till next month. So, you know, I don't know if I'd wait, but I think I'd just go fishing. Now, Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too. He's got plenty, but they're even worth $500 a piece. So all you do is catch rockfish with a bright green tag. Call the number on the tag. You might just have captured a $20,000 prize. Now, if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland cetacean-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater in the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. So stop by your local fishing citation center. Visit www.dnr.state.md.us, or let's make it easier, www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's right, dnr.maryland.gov. That's easy. For all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim and this year honoring Lefty Cray, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look mean. Oh, Sally Danny, you got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy. Every day before supper time, she'd go down and buy the truck patch and pick her a mess of poke salad and carry it home in a cold sack. Poke salad, Annie. Gator got your granny.
Gator got your granny. All right. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. You want to skin a groundhog? You want to catch a deer? I mean, kill a deer? You want to... By the way, no animals were harmed in the production of this radio show this morning. I just thought you'd like to know, even though we talked about it. That's a good thing. Kristen wouldn't want to see us. You know, we could come in here and bring a groundhog in and skin it on the air. No? No? I'll save that for the next hour when Pat's here. Oh, we could do that. But, you know, that to me, that what's the point, though? If, you know, if I bring a groundhog in here and skin it, what do I say? And now I'm cutting down the inside of the thigh. Ah, we make a sharp little cut here to the... No, I'm not going to do that. Good radio, though. It would be good describing how to skin a groundhog on the air. I'm just saying. No? All right. Not your thing? How about a big old catfish if I bring it in here and skin it? Huh? Now, see, a lot of people would like to know my technique for skinning catfish. It's very simple. Now, let me tell you the old method. The old method is you take a catfish and you nail its head to a tree or a board, and you take and you cut around behind the head and get a pair of vice grips or something and pull the skin off of it. And that's traditional, and that's fine. Personally, I like to fillet them, but here's how I do it. You take that catfish. You turn the hot water on in your spigot. You run the catfish under the hot water. It does two things. A, kills the catfish immediately. And B, loosens the skin, and you can just peel it like a banana. You still make the same cut, but none of that mess, and you know, none of that nail in the head of the tree, and you know, the getting the vice grips or the skinning pliers or something like that. You just, they're very easy to skin, so that's how that works. So, what happened to that caller? Where'd that guy go? Okay. What? I know we're almost out of time. That's why I'm just yammering here. So what are you saying? I need to talk about my buddy Sean Mann? Oh, okay. Is that what you're telling me? All right. The music's going to start to play, but I do want to tell you, call Sean Mann at 800-345-4539. Or go online and see all the Sean Mann calls at SeanMann.com. I was in the office the other day. We got a nice little office down there in Talbot County. And if you call in, you'll talk to one of the fine people there, and you can ask them any question, and they'll be more than glad to tell you. But if you'd like to hear the calls or see the calls, go online. Just go to your computer and type in www.SeanMann.com. Now, a little history. Sean, lifelong goose hunter, went with his dad Bill when he was a kid. Loved to hear the geese. Wanted to imitate that sound, and the calls that were out there, he wasn't satisfied with, so he created